What is the biggest cause of us not practicing properly, of going down the wrong path, is not following a Vajra Guru. The second biggest problem is not having pith instructions, just like the person we mentioned earlier that had the wrong views about things being void. And some non-Buddhists have this type of thinking, this type of practice. Buddhist teachings transcend these views of voidness and of eternalism. And this is what we call the perfect city. However, these extremes you don't have to worry about because you have your own Vajra Guru. And you have the guidance and the pith instructions of the lineage masters. And they will teach us. And then all we need to do is follow according to those teachings. It's that simple. We all want to free ourselves from samsara and the sufferings of samsara. And what is samsara? Samsara is these discriminatory thoughts of ours. Our discriminatory thoughts are samsara. 24 hours of the day, non-stop. They continue. These discriminatory thoughts have their step-by-step processes. They start as a subtle random thought, then become a gross random thought, then become a habit, then become a negative habit, and then become an action. And the same is for the arising of all of these afflictive emotions of ours, our attachment, aversion, and ignorance. These continuous arising discriminatory thoughts that we have for 24 hours of the day is samsara. Samsara are these arising thoughts, these afflictions, which come from our mind. Discrimination, attachment. This is what keeps us revolving around in samsara. Our body is not able to do this. When we pass away, that last breath, we leave the body behind. But our mind and these random thoughts keep on revolving. Our body disappears in the crematorium or in the cemetery. Or is dismembered in a Tibetan burial ground. However, it is this mind and these random thoughts that never stop thinking, never finish thinking, always are doubtful, not clear, day in and day out, thinking. And this is revolving around in samsara. However, one day when our merits are perfected and we are able to recognize our true nature of mind in that very moment, from beginningless time till now, all of those thoughts are cut through. And hence the importance of recognizing the true nature of mind. And if you want to attain enlightenment, you have to recognize your true nature of mind. And in that moment that we recognize the true nature of mind, we can cut through all of those and liberate all of those afflictions and all of those random thoughts. And if you can support the true nature of mind for 10 minutes, then in that 10 minutes, you cut through all of those negative habits and afflictions and thoughts. However, until we recognize the true nature of mind, we are not able to cut through this. Liberation is in this mind. Enlightenment is in this mind. Samsara is also this mind. Liberation is this mind. Buddhahood is this mind. In reality, this mind of ours is quite incredible. It can be sentient beings, it can be Buddha. When our merit is good and we have good arising causes and we meet our enlightened Vajra Guru and encountering or meeting or receiving these transcendent pith instructions, then definitely within this life we can attain Buddhahood. However, if we don't meet with these arising causes and we are lacking just even one, then we won't attain liberation or enlightenment. And all of you here, go home and really consider this. And the important point to remember, we ourselves must attain Buddhahood. We will not attain Buddhahood pursuing it outside of ourselves. In order to attain Buddhahood, we must look within. And if we haven't attained Buddhahood, then we have all of these random arising thoughts, these discriminatory thoughts, all of these afflictions, However, as soon as we, through profound or deep meditation, we find that all of these movements of thoughts and afflictions stop, then we have found the true nature of mind. Why is it that some people are not willing to practice? It's because they are not willing to leave behind these afflictive emotions and discriminatory thoughts. They're not willing to leave behind these afflictions. Why? Because as long as they have these afflictions, they feel like that life has purpose and that they exist. And why? Because they've never practiced. They've never really meditated or experienced a higher level of realization or a higher state of mind. And so these people are only relying on these emotions, these afflictions. Why? Because they haven't got anything else that they rely on. However, these good practitioners, they don't rely on these afflictive emotions, although they do have them. They rather abide in more profound states of mind. For instance, the ocean. There are big waves, small waves, all kinds of different waves. However, when you go into the ocean, then you don't notice any waves. Similarly, when we are living our life and we are existing solely with respect to these afflictions and emotions, then for a moment we're in a fiery pit of emotion, then we're happy, and then we're very sad, and we have some kind of suffering, and then moment by moment, we are taken this way and that way by these different emotions, and then our life is full of sufferings. However, if we just go a little deeper, just like if we go deeper into the ocean, then we will find that we don't have all of these afflictive emotions, these random thoughts, all of these discriminatory thoughts. The first is we must practice our pith instructions, and the second, look at the different depths of our mind. Then all of those random thoughts, emotions, in that present moment, won't be there. And if we know that within our mind we have this unchanging, everlasting, great wisdom, emptiness, great, vast compassion, then once we've experienced it once, we will be very willing to go and experience it again and again and again, to experience our true nature of mind. If what we do is continue as we did before, is place all of our attention on our five senses and follow these five senses, then life is full of suffering. And if we're doing this, are we not sentient beings? Then we just experience sufferings. What we see, we can't have. What we hear, we can't have. What we are thinking about, we can't have. And then we are full of unhappiness, the unhappiness of not having what we wish for. And then we live our life in a very confused way. And then our mind is completely the servant of our five senses. And then there is a lot of suffering in life. However, if I turn my mind inward and look more profoundly, then all of a sudden everything slows down or stops. Everything seems more pure. We don't have so much pressure. We're not so anxious. And then we're just abiding in this very joyful, natural, free state of mind. And in this way, experience the true nature of mind. And this is a very auspicious, directly pointing at the mind, but instruction and guidance.